You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Winning with Wisdom.
Let's go to Romans 8:14. Let's start off there. I'm starting a new teaching that my plan was for this to be one lesson, but it won't be. So I'll continue with this, and y'all will just have a head start over our evening. Romans 8:14. I quote this often. I quote it in prayer. I quote it when I'm praying for other people. I quote it when people come up to me all the time saying, "Pastor, pray for me. I got to make a decision regarding this. Got to make a decision regarding that." And I often take them back to the scripture from Romans 8 chapter and verse 14. Do you have it? Come on, let's read together. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God. And notice Spirit there is capital S, so that means it's a reference to what? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Synonymous terms. And so ideally, to make decisions, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And so I want to start a teaching today entitled, "How Not to Make Decisions." How not to make decisions. I think a couple years ago I did a series on how to make decisions. And I guess everybody didn't get that one. Maybe I teach the other way from the other side. How not to make decisions. I see people you ever hear somebody making a decision, or you even made your own bad decision. You say, "What in the world was I thinking?" And you see how people decide, like, what in the world are they thinking? Why would they do that? Why would I do that? And it's usually because we're making decisions based upon the wrong things, okay? So when we make decisions, you have to think about what motivates your decisions. What's motivating this decision? I got ready to do something yesterday as we were leaving the hotel. It was yesterday, right? Yeah, technically it was yesterday. And then I said, the only reason why I would be doing that is just to impress somebody else. I ain't going to do that. But I had to judge myself. So that's the only reason why I would be doing it, would just be to impress. So if I made that decision based upon that, I would be making a decision that was based upon impressing somebody else, which is not how you make decisions. Would we agree? Okay, so we have to think about what motivates our decision. And you need to think about, how do you choose or not choose? How do you choose what to do or not to do? What's the basis behind that? I'm going to be talking a little bit more in the context of the scripture that says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, we always jump right to the "as a man thinketh," but in the context of that, he's really talking about somebody's motives for doing what they're doing when we look at the context of it. But he says, "For as a man thinketh," that's talking about your systematic way of thinking, your method of operation of how you make choices. That's really who you are. Okay? And so, real quickly, before I get into these 10, I'm not going to get to 10 of them today, about how not to make decisions, I think we can all agree on four basic ways that we should make decisions. Number one is by that foundational scripture there, by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, "As men are led by the Spirit of God." So I should make decisions because that's what the Spirit of the Lord told me to do. The Spirit of the Lord led me to do that. The Spirit of the Lord told me to do that. So, come on. And there are some decisions. Can I be honest? There are some decisions I don't really think that God even thinking about. I mean, we got God involved in everything. And the Lord told me to put this scarf on. Come on, of all that God talking about, that's what he told you. Okay? Of all the things God talked about, he spoke to you and just woke you up and told you, "Wear this scarf this morning." And, you know, sometimes people have God talking about all kinds of things that I think is really so insignificant. I think as important God is, that sometimes he don't even have, he ain't even bother. I'm not going to say he don't have time, because time is not an element with God. It's too minuscule. It's too much minutia for him to even bother to talk. You can choose that without God. You can choose which pair of shoes you want to wear. Amen. You can choose with the hairstyle, even though some of us seek the Lord. There's something I do, but anyway, you choose that kind of stuff. You understand? But there's some things I think we need to be led by the Spirit of God on. When it comes to making major purchases, sometimes I see people do that in a vacuum. Do you think God cares about which house you buy? I think he does. Because a mortgage is a major important part of your life. Amen. Where you live is a major important part of your life. Somebody, I'm not going to mention your name, but somebody in church recently got a house, and we were supposed to be a real nice house. We were talking about, and they said, man, Pastor, I moved past, I got that house. I found that we had break-ins in there, and people breaking people's cars. And I said, you moved in the hood? Okay? So there are things that you need to be led by. I believe when you make a car purchase, you need to be led by the Spirit of God more than just what it looked like. Because it can just be looking real good on the side of the road. Amen? And God already knew that beyond your budget and your credit score. So there's things we need to be led by the Spirit of God in. Number two, we should make decisions based upon the peace of God. Colossians 3 and 15 said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called one body, and be ye thankful. Let the what? Peace of God, what? Rule. When it says rule here, it makes decision. One, I think the Amplified says, be the umpire of your decisions. Saying in, saying out. Okay? So if you don't have a peace about it, I don't care what somebody else tells you about it, don't make that move. Amen? I often say this, it could be good in your head and bad in your heart. Don't do it. Amen? On the other hand, it could be bad in your head from the outward. No one ever, it doesn't make any sense why you would ever do that. But the peace of God rules in your heart and tells you to do that. Okay. Number three, biblical principles. We should make decisions based upon biblical principles. Does this line up with the word? I know he ain't saved, but the Lord told me. Really? Does this line up with the word? Y'all always get real quiet on that one. Because we will obey God on everything else except when it comes when we call ourselves falling in love. I have watched this thing over and 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 over again. A woman can be sold out for Jesus, love God, until it comes to a man. I watch it over and over again. And at that point, they don't want to hear what I got to say or nobody else got to say. But you going to do what you feel that you going to do because you in love or lust. And sometimes when you got your body involved, you can't tell the difference. Woo! Y'all wasn't expecting me to come back from Japan with this, huh? You want me to just bring some souvenirs to you, huh? I don't have none. Yeah, when your body got involved, you can't tell the difference between love and lust. So it should be do things based upon biblical principles. Psalms 119:105 says, what thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I don't know what to do. Well, what does the word say about it? I just don't know which way to go. What does the word say about it? Thy word is a lamp. It illuminates all the dark areas and a light to my path. It shows me which way I should go, how to make decisions. I do it based upon the word, not based upon what I feel like. Do it based upon the word. Drop down to verse 128. By the way, when you get a chance, go back and just read. And you can't read it real fast. Read the whole 119th Psalm. It's so much in there that talks about the value of the word in our lives. Thy word, he keeps talking about my precepts, by thy precepts, by thy law. Okay? Verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. I esteem your precepts concerning all things that are right. Well, this is what I feel about it, but the word says this. So I esteem. Esteem means now I got a rank. Esteem means what I put higher. I put God's word and what it says to be right over everything else that appears right, all the people tell me is right. Amen. That's how we should be making decisions, based upon the precepts of the word. All right. And then fourth way that we should make decisions. Okay. Because maybe you're not spiritual enough to be led by the Spirit of God. Maybe you're not really sure of whether you don't have enough relationship with the Lord yet or spiritual maturity yet to discern the peace of God. Maybe you don't know enough word yet to walk in biblical principles. Okay. So now we come down to this fourth one here, which is wise counsel. Wise counsel. You make decisions based upon wise counsel. It amazes me, y'all, the things that people do based with no counsel. It just amazes me, things that people will do. And now, there were things I did as I was coming along, even as a young pastor. I just didn't have anybody to give me the counsel. I didn't have access to anybody to give me the counsel. I'm doing things that none of my pastors or predecessors had done. I couldn't get counsel from them about these things because they hadn't done it. I'm operating at a level they had never operated at. And then the people who were beyond me, I didn't have any access to them. So I was in a rough place. So I had no choice, y'all, but to press into the Holy Spirit, get the peace of God, and make sure I'm studying the word to get biblical principles. But can I tell you, there's an easy way if you got access to somebody who already know the voice of the Holy Spirit, already know, can discern the peace of God, who already knows the biblical principles, and you don't have to go through all that and know all that. Just get some wise counsel. Proverbs 24 and 6. Proverbs 24 and 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make war. And in the multitude of counselors there's what? There's safety. So, now for example, I really appreciate that y'all think I'm just so smart. I'm the smartest man in the world. But people ask me, y'all ask me everything. Okay? And I'm flattered, y'all. I'm flattered, but I don't know everything. Okay? People ask me legal questions. They ask me medical questions. They ask me mechanic questions. Okay, I don't know everything. Somebody, I got back down, looked at my email. Somebody said to me, Pastor, I got a car. How much should I sell it for? And in this case, it was a car that don't work and they don't have enough money to get it fixed. I said, whatever you can get for it. Okay, but people ask me everything. But notice it said in a multitude of counselors. Which means sometimes there's different counselors for different things. You follow me? So you don't go ask a lawyer a plumber question. Amen. You don't go to ask a medical doctor the lawyer question. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So sometimes you need to have various people in your lives who have expertise or knowledge or wisdom in various areas. All right? So we got that, how to make decisions, right? Do we all agree on those? By the Holy Spirit, by the peace of God, by biblical principles, and by wise counsel. Now, if all your decisions you do are based upon this, you can't make a bad decision. If all your decisions are based upon the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, biblical principles, and operating in wise counsel. But then there are ways not to make decisions. And I see people make decisions all the time based upon all these things that I'm going to tell you not to make decisions. But and probably if I went on, I could have came up with some others. But I came up with 10, and let's start here with number one. The number one is out of anger. People leave churches out of anger. People walk off jobs out of anger. People cuss people out of anger. People cut people off the road out of anger. People throw up the middle finger to let the other person know that they're number one out of anger. Okay? But look what James says. James, the first chapter, verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? Slow to wrath. I mean, get a hold on that thing. Don't be so quick to be angry. Why? Keep going. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So when I do things just out of anger, most likely I'm going to do something that displeases God. Can we agree with that? And then you have to have people do stuff or say something, then you're supposed to be okay. Well, I was just angry. I was okay. If you come up here and stab me and cut me up and then tell me that I'm sorry, that don't stop me from bleeding. You have gotten over your anger, but I'm here choking. You've gotten over your anger, but there's a lot of carnage that you've left. And then people expect, because you forgive them, that you're supposed to forget about all the wounds. But these wounds are still healing. And not only that, I got another message I prepared on the plane. You know, when you're riding on a plane for 14 hours, it's amazing how much you can do. Okay? Got another message that I started preparing called Unsafe People. There are people who are unsafe. And that was based upon, I was on the plane reading about how David is serving Saul, and then you play in the harp, and then Saul just picks up a javelin and throws it at him. And the Bible said David had to conduct himself wisely around him. Imagine working for somebody who could throw a spear at you any minute based upon whatever mood they're in. How many of y'all agree that's an unsafe person? So you got to like creep up on people like that. You got to see how close the spear is to them today. Okay, you got to see what weapons is around them. That's on you, because you never know when they're going to lash out at you. Unsafe people. And people who don't know how to manage and control your anger, that's a very unsafe person. Can I tell y'all, you just know me. The Bible said, know them that labor among you. And that when you read the context of that scripture, it's not talking about pastors knowing the members. It's talking about members knowing the pastor. When he said know them, he said know them that labor among you. He's talking about those who teach and preach the word of God. Reach in context. People always quote it for the other way around. Because it's a whole lot easier for y'all to know me than me to know all y'all. Don't y'all agree? Yeah. Amen. So the Bible said, know them that labor among you. When I realize people are unsafe, I will forgive people, but I'll put some real distance with you. Okay? You cuss me out and then tell me, Pastor, I'm sorry. Okay, I will not put myself in a position to be cussed out by you anymore. You understand? I always look at this like a dog. I always look at this like I mean, I don't look from the perspective of a dog. I look at it from as if a dog bites me. Now, a dog can bite me, all right? And then my neighbor tell me, listen, he didn't mean it. He's really a nice dog. I don't know what happened to him that day. Well, you don't either. Okay, so now, as far as I'm concerned, that's an unsafe dog. Okay, you tell me he don't usually do that. He did it that time. And how am I going to know when he's going to have another one of his unusual incidents? Y'all follow me? So I walk wide circles around that dog. When there are people who don't know how to control their anger, you got to walk wide circles around them. Don't make decisions based upon anger. Whether that's walking out of your marriage, walking out of your church, leaving your job, getting revenge at somebody, which is a whole nother one. Don't make decisions based upon anger. Second one, it sounds like it, but it's a little bit different, is offense. You don't make decisions based upon offense. And I told you, before I even saw this in scripture, the Lord told me that when we was in the church and had the racist pastor made the racist statements. Okay, it was a white pastor, and he made his statements about, you know, stop all this mixed marriage and all that kind of stuff. And I taught my child, you can play interracially, but you don't date interracially, and all that kind of stuff. And I was sitting there, and I was mad. I said, I ain't coming back to this church. The Lord said, no, you come back. I didn't tell you. I said, and watch this. The Lord said, I knew he was a racist when I told you to go there. Why would the Lord tell me to do that? Maybe just because he wanted me to be able to teach you all this 20 years later. That you don't make decisions just based upon offense. I was offended. I was angry and offended. And the reason why I separate them, because you can be offended and not necessarily be angry. You can be offended and just be hurt. You understand? That's why I distinguish them. Look at Proverbs 18 and 19. Proverbs 18:19, I believe it says that an offended person is hard, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's hard to get through to a person who's offended. You can apologize. You can tell them you won't do it again. You can tell them they misunderstood. When a person is offended, unless they get over their offense, you almost can't communicate with them. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. So a lot of times we do things merely strictly based upon offense. But you're offended. Now you're making choices based upon the offense. And you're not making the choices based upon what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. It's not making the choice based on peace of God or biblical principles or even wise counsel. You're doing what you're doing out of hurt. You're just offended. Can I tell you this? Sometimes when people are merely offended, you kind of know that you're violating biblical principles. So now we got to try to make up stuff to justify the offense. And the reality is you're just offended. I've watched people over the years get offended with me as a pastor. And usually when people get offended with me as a pastor, it's because either I've corrected them or you didn't like the way I said something. I didn't say something wrong. You didn't like the way I said it. So now I got to always evaluate everything I say. Do 3,000 people like the way I'm saying it? Then some people, well, he sure act like he was scared when he said that. Those are people who you weren't forceful enough when you said it. Somebody else said, yeah, he didn't have to say it like that. He didn't have to say a harlot. Okay. You're never gonna be able to please everybody. But sometimes people just get offended. And some people are just easily offended. Everybody say, Lord, help me not to be easily offended. You ever see people's like, what now? I heard about somebody recently, you know, and we agreed. I heard somebody said they got offended about something because, you know, they thought I wouldn't walk by them and I wasn't speaking to them. So I said, go on, let them go on. If it ain't one thing, it's going to be another. You know, I'm going to do my best to speak to you all the time. But I might have something on my mind. And you was an usher and I walked by you. And you was ushering so pastor could say hi to you, right? Come on, y'all. I mean, at some point you have to realize, and I told you this before, offense is a measure of your maturity. What you get offended by is a measure of how mature you are. The more mature you are, the less you get offended by things. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the point we ought to get to. And I know we're all at various degrees, and that doesn't mean that we deliberately go around trying to offend people and not caring about people's feelings. But at some point, we're going to have to grow up and not be offended by every little thing. Amen. And then if you are offended, judge that. Judge that. Say, no, listen, I'm just offended. I got to get over this because I know the Lord ain't told me to do, he didn't tell me to do that. He didn't tell me to go nowhere. He didn't tell me to leave my husband. I'm just offended. He didn't tell me not to speak to them anymore. I'm just offended. Have y'all? I ain't never heard nobody say, you know, the Spirit of the Lord told me don't ever speak to them again. The Spirit of the Lord told me to never smile at them again. But how many of y'all know people make those decisions, don't they? What are they basing that on? Offense. Spirit of the Lord don't tell you not to speak to people. Now, I'm telling you, just don't ever speak to them again. Don't smile at them and don't dare ever pray for them again. No, that's all your offense. John 6:61-66, Jesus started talking to them about eating my body and drinking my blood. And he was talking spiritually, they didn't understand it. And when Jesus saw, and when Jesus knew in himself that they murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? I'm saying something you don't understand what I'm saying or like what I'm saying. Are you offended? For the sake of time, drop on down to verse 66. And from that time, many of his disciples went back, what? And walked no more with him. Do you think they were supposed to not walk with Jesus anymore? Come on, y'all, talk to me. No, what made them stop walking with Jesus? They were offended. They were offended. So don't make decisions based upon offense. Number three, Don't make decisions based upon competition or comparison.
Are you making the best decisions for your life? When we walk in wisdom, we walk in whole life prosperity. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains how you can win with wisdom. Order this powerful series today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Winning with Wisdom.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.